Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to 1 John, the book of 1 John. You can put a marker there and you can flip over to Acts chapter 22. We're going to be in both of those. We're kind of in a series called The Supporting Cast. And 2 weeks ago, we kind of launched this. This past Sunday, one of our teaching elders, William Braxton, came and brought the word. I want to thank him. And of course, I know you guys ate great that day. William is a beautiful mind and also a dear friend. And I want to thank him for standing and bringing the word that day. I know that you were cared for and blessed by the word. For Pastor Chris for running the service. And y'all kind of got me in trouble with my mama. Yeah. My mom was here last week. She was watching the kids while Steph and I were gone. And I got home. I walked in the house. The phone rang. And I'm like, hey, Mom. Because they had to leave before I got back. So she said, what do you tell that church about me? I said, what are you talking about? She said, I just had a couple people come up, and they were just telling me all the stories that you've told them about me beating you. And I said, Mom, I said, I've always prefaced every story with, I probably deserve this. She goes, you deserved every single one of them. She said, you didn't tell them about me changing diapers. And I'm like, no, that's off record. You don't do that, Mom. So it was. She was so blessed. Thank y'all for loving my mom and dad. They were here, and they had a blast as well. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. We're still in a series called Supporting Cast. We're going to take a couple of weeks and talk about witnessing, evangelism, you know, sharing our faith. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does that feel like? How do we as a body of believers understand that each and every one of us are called to be a witness? It's not an option. All of you are witnesses. You're either good witnesses or you're bad witnesses. But all of us are witnessing something. We're all of our lives are saying something. But I want us to understand that we are the supporting cast for God to show the world his son. People look at you to see Christ. When you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, they're looking at you to see Jesus Christ inside of you. Do you love? Do you care? Do you forgive? How do you handle problems? How do you handle issues? The world is looking for something authentic. And I spoke to you last time about famous farmers. This week, I'm going to talk to you about famous witnesses. We're going to talk about famous witnesses. And I want to show you some famous witnesses in the Bible. And I want to show you how easy it is to witness. How many of you think it's easy? How many of you think it's not easy? How many of you are just too lazy, you're not going to raise your hand for anything? See, you didn't even raise your hand for that. Just grunt or something. Don't get me going. But here's the thing. When we talk about witnessing and someone says, oh, it's easy. I have to admit, the first thought in my head is it easy for who? Because I mean, there are times that it feels very complicated. There are times that it seems very challenging and very hard. And so when someone says, oh, it's so easy to witness, you kind of sit back a little bit and go, yeah, right. Maybe it's easy for them. But what we're going to do is I'm going to show you what witnessing truly is. And I think when we understand what witnessing is, that we're going to realize that it is simple and that anybody can do it. Now, when I say that something is simple, I do not mean that it is powerless. Sometimes simple truths are the most powerful truths because they're not complicated. They're very, very simple. And something that is simple can be powerful, and this can be life-changing. So to get started, I want to throw a scripture to you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says this, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall, what are those next two words? Be witnesses. I want you all to say them with me. And you shall be witnesses. That's such a cool thing. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and into Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now listen, he says, be witnesses. He doesn't say when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall do witnessing. He says, be witnesses. A witness is someone that you are. It is not something that you do. And that is one of the first things that I want us to understand, because when you understand that being a witness is something that you are, the whole process becomes that much simpler and I think more powerful. We're called to be witnesses, not just do witnessing. You see, I think it's fantastic if a couple times a year we go out and we hand out bottled waters. I think it's fantastic that a couple times a year we kind of hand a tract to somebody and say, hey, come see us at our church. I think that is wonderful, and I think that is great. That is doing witnessing. But Christ called us to something more than that. He called us to be a witness. All right? It is coming to the awareness that how I live my life every day, how I handle people, how I handle conflict, how I handle pain, how I handle victories, how I handle defeats. It is understanding that your life every day is telling the world something about Jesus is being a witness. You see, it is about who you are. And if you have met Christ, then you are a witness. You with me? Don't lose me yet. Stick with me. You know that we're all called to be witnesses, but I want to ask you something. When it comes to your faith, do you plead the fifth? We live in a world that is driven. If you say anything about Christ, you're called intolerant. And it's amazing. It really is. The culture that we live in, the day that we live in, is really an amazing day. So what people tend to do a lot of times when it comes to issues of our faith is we plead the fifth. And when someone's called to witness and you don't want to incriminate yourself, that's what you do. You say, hey, I plead the fifth. I don't want to incriminate myself. I don't want to say something I shouldn't say or do something I shouldn't do, so I'm going to plead the fifth, and I'm kind of just going to remove myself from this whole process. I'm going to believe what I want to believe, and I'm going to believe what I do believe, but I'm not going to really step out anyway to do anything for anyone else. And so I'm going to plead the fifth when it comes to my faith. Well, here's the thing. As a believer, you've been found not guilty. Jesus Christ has covered you. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took your sins. He took your issues, your battles, your struggles, all that upon himself. He died on the cross. He paid the price that nobody else could pay, that we really couldn't even pay. He laid his life down so that our life could live. And so you today have been declared not guilty, so you don't have to worry about being incriminated. You can live your life being the witness that Christ has called us to be, because Christ is in our heart and we have a story to tell. So don't plead the fifth with your life. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. So famous witnesses. First one I want to talk to you about is John was a witness. John was a witness. In 1 John 1:1, I'm going to read 1 through 3. It says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we could declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he wrote the Gospel of John to prove the deity of Christ. He wrote, when you read the Gospel of John, it is all about how Jesus is the Son of God. He was dealing with the deity of Christ. But when he wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's dealing with the humanity of Christ. He's wanting you to know he was fully God, but he was also fully man. And he wrote this, 1 John, to the church of Ephesus. And there were people there called the Gnostics or Gnostics who believed that they had knowledge. And there was a group of them in the church of Ephesus that felt like they had knowledge that was outside of what Christ had given. So they felt like, you know, hey, there's common knowledge that we all have, but we have received additional knowledge that no one else has, and y'all need to listen to our teaching. And so they're teaching this, and John hears it, and John sees what they're saying, and he hears what they're saying, and he comes to them, and really, 1 John is, in essence, John saying, hey, listen, I hear what you're saying, Jesus said, but the problem with that was this: I was there, and that's not what he said. I heard him with my ears. I saw him with my eyes. And this stuff you're talking about is not who he was and what Jesus was about. Now that is a powerful witness. See, there's still groups in the world today that go through and they live their lives feeling like that they have knowledge that's not found in the Bible. And how many know that's dangerous? Well, it's not in the Bible. Oh, well, we'll just write our own book. We'll just do our own theology. I'll just have my own process. I'll take God and I'll shape him to whatever I need him to be so I can live the way that I want to live. How many know when we're shaping God at all, that becomes what? Idolatry. Jesus shapes us. We don't shape him. Okay, so John is writing this and he's saying, I was there, I saw Jesus, I heard Jesus, he didn't say what you're saying. Now I want you to think for a moment how powerful a witness that had to be, because at this point he's the last living apostle that had walked with Jesus. So this bad theology starts in the church of Ephesus. John comes forward, he addresses it, it's not true, I was there in person, it's not what he said, I saw him, I heard him. John was a powerful witness. And John is saying, I saw him, I heard him. And that is what a witness is. It is someone who testifies what he has seen and what he has heard. So where does that leave us today? Because I wasn't there. Were any of you there? I don't think many of you are old enough to have been that. Ted, maybe. Oh, come on. Oh, shush. You see, I wasn't there, and I didn't hear him in person. I wasn't on earth when Jesus walked on earth. But I'll tell you where I was. I was in a Coliseum in Richmond, Virginia, at a Dallas Home and Praise concert when I was 8 years old that my parents made me go to. Simply because the concert was free. And how many know free is cheaper than hiring a babysitter? And I'm being God honest with you. That is the only reason I was there. My parents were too cheap to hire a babysitter. It's better for us to bring you than it is to pay someone to watch you. And then we have to fix whatever you've broke. And that is the only reason I was there. About 1,000 people in the Coliseum. They did their concert. I sat there absolutely bored out of my mind. Thought it was horrible. I would have rather gone to the dentist. You know, anything. Just terrible. And after the concert, this guy puts down his guitar. Everyone else clears the stage, and he comes up and he opens up his Bible and he begins to talk about how Jesus can fill the hole in your heart. And I sat there as an 8-year-old young boy sitting there, and nothing to that point had connected to me, meant anything to me. I did not care. I just wanted to go home. It's all I wanted to do until he started talking and saying, Jesus fills that emptiness. Jesus can come in. And some of you wonder what life's all about. Jesus is what gives you purpose. And for the first time in my life, I heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and what he was saying was talking straight to me, and I met Jesus that day. I didn't see him with my physical eyes, but I saw him with my spiritual eyes. I didn't see him where he came and laid a hand on me, but I'm gonna tell you what, the person who prayed over me and led me into the sinner's prayer, and I accepted Jesus into my heart that morning, that day, or that evening rather, as an 8-year-old kid, I'm gonna tell you what, those were not just the hands of that person, but they were the hands of God on my life. And so I have seen him. I have heard him. I met him that day, and so because I've met him that day and he's changed my life, I can share in the same way as John. When I witness, I'm simply telling you what happened to me, and you can't argue with that because I'm living proof of what I'm talking about. Amen? See, this isn't some fantasy world. This isn't some make-believe thing where you're trying to hocus pocus and come up. Now, when I got married 22 years ago, Saturday, we got married, and one of the things that I learned as a young husband was that when my wife would sleep, you could talk to her and you could make her dream. And knowing my personality, what do you expect me to do, all right? And so there was one night, and every once in a while she would do this, and I would just kind of make up stuff, and do you see that? Yeah. You know, and so one night I had this dream when I'm talking to her, and she was being chased through the woods by a 9-foot nun. And it was one of those dreams where she's running as fast as, but she's going so slow, and the nun was just walking after her. And they're running through the woods, and you know, she's making the faces, and I'm thinking, this is awesome, you know. And so in this dream, the nun finally gets her cornered in the forest, and the nun is getting ready to get her in the Care, y'all remember the Care Bears? the Care Bears jump out and they're all dressed like ninjas. And they beat up the nun with nunchucks and you know, she gets away. And so the next morning, you know, she wakes up and she's like, man, I had the weirdest dream last night. And I'm like, yeah? She goes, what did you do? You know? So we're not talking about witnessing and telling somebody about Jesus like we're trying to make up some story. We're just telling our story. And you're the proof of your story. You're the evidence of what you're talking about. And that's why this is such a simple thing. All you have to do to tell somebody about Jesus is tell them what Christ has done for you. You don't need to add more. You don't need to embellish it. You just communicate what God has done. And when I share with you about my relationship with Jesus, it's not a fantasy thing. It's my story. I was there. You see, I used to be stubborn and hard-headed. And today, I'm less stubborn and a little less hard-headed because of the glory of God, right? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Listen, people can argue about anything, and people do. Try to sit down and talk theology with somebody. Somebody's going to disagree, and someone's going to have a different idea. Sit down and try to talk to somebody about definitions and church terms, and you could go around and around and around. You can talk about what's for today and what's not for today and what Jesus said and does that apply today and do you culturally change the story to go with the culture? I mean, you could get into all these things and argue all of this stuff, but they can't argue with your story because you were there. When you talk about it, you can talk about it authentically and genuinely because it's yours and you can share it with authority. That is being a witness. Let me ask you something. If you this week witnessed a car wreck, driving down the road and you see somebody hit somebody else and they ask you to come to court to be a witness for them, do you have to go to witnessing school? Now, I'm all for learning how to do, you know, what we do better, but you don't have to go to witnessing school. All you have to do is sit there, you raise your hand, and you just have to tell them what? What you saw. What you heard. That's it. You don't have to take an automotive class to learn when the car's hit, it bent the front fender, and I think it did some damage to the axle because I could tell by the ripple effect. That you don't have to have a wonderful understanding of cars and what all it was. All you have to do is say, this is what I heard, this is what I saw. That's being a witness. So here's the Apostle John, and he's saying, I'm a witness. See, you don't have to be saved for 10 years to be a witness. You can be saved 10 seconds and be a witness. Somebody ought to Facebook that. John was a witness. Another famous witness that I want to talk to you about this morning was Paul. Paul was a witness. It says in Acts 22, then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. Verse 15, for you will what? Be his witness to all men that you have seen and heard. You see, what I love about this is Paul, who is the greatest apostle of all time, who is the greatest church planter probably of all time. And I want you to understand something. If it wasn't for Paul hearing the voice of God and going and telling people what he saw and what he heard and planting the churches, who did Paul reach out to? He reached out to the Gentiles. Do you know what you are today? You're Gentiles. If it wasn't for Paul, we wouldn't be here. Thank God for someone who was a witness. Thank God for someone who said, this goes beyond just the Jewish people. This goes to all men and all mankind. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell everybody what I saw and what I heard and what I've experienced in my life when it comes to the things of Christ. And that's what Paul did. He went out and he preached Christ and Christ crucified. See, Paul was a witness. You know why he was the greatest church planter there was? Because everywhere he went, he witnessed. He told his story, and people were saved. In Acts 22, all that he's doing there is telling his story. A few chapters later, just before he dies, he's standing in front of the king, and the king says, tell me your defense. You know what Paul shared? testimony. That's it. He didn't stand there and argue something. He says, King, you want to know what my defense is? Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. He tells about the bright light. He tells about how Jesus appeared to him. He shares his testimony. Do you know what the king's response is? The king says, Saul or Paul, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian. What was almost persuading him to almost become a Christian? Was it Paul's doctrine? Was it Paul's theology? Was it that he wore a suit and didn't come to church in jeans? Or was he wearing skinny jeans so he could be culturally relevant? It wasn't any of that stuff, wasn't it? What touched the king's heart? Paul's testimony. Paul sharing with him what God had done in his life. See, when you go to court and you share something that you don't personally or you didn't personally see or hear, they call it hearsay and it's inadmissible. I wonder if it's possible that we've stopped sharing our stories and stop sharing about our personal relationship with Jesus in the church today because we've started sharing about all other truths that we didn't see or hear ourselves. I'm not anti-theology. I'm not anti-doctrine. I think we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. But you know what? There's not something you can't bring up I can't argue with you about. But if you sit to me and say, Pastor West, before I met Jesus, my life was this. And one day in a small group in my house or an altar at a church or in Sunday school as a child, they prayed for me and something happened in my heart. My life has been different. Here's how my life's been different. What can I say about that? Because you're the proof. You're the evidence. It's your story. I'm not saying don't share the gospel. We never fail when we share the gospel, but I'm saying share your story. What we need to understand is that what opens people up to even hear the gospel is your personal story because it's yours and it's what Jesus has done for you. And it's not just your salvation story. I mean, hasn't God done a lot more? It's the story of God moving in your life. And when we vocalize that story and we tell others about the story of God moving in our lives, they can't argue with that because you're proof. You're the evidence, all right? Paul, John was a witness. Paul was a witness. The last one might surprise you a little bit, but it's probably the most famous of all, and it's simply this. Jesus was a witness. Jesus was a witness. John 3:32, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. That's what it says. Do you remember when people came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, you know what? We just love the stories that you tell us. Do you remember what he said? I only tell you what the Father tells me. Jesus, we just love the miracles that you do. And you lay hands on the sick and the demon possessed and the blind and the lame and you speak to them and they're healed and they get up and they walk. We just love when you do that kind of stuff. It's amazing. What did Jesus say? I only do what I see the Father do. Jesus was a witness because he did, or he shared what he heard and what he saw. He did this. Jesus came to earth to be a witness, and he was a witness, a personal of what he personally heard and saw. And that phrase is all throughout the New Testament. Luke 2:20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told to them. Luke 7:22, Jesus said to them, go and tell John the things that you've seen and the things that you've heard. After the disciples, the resurrection, they had been beaten and they were told, listen, you can't go out and tell people about Jesus anymore. This needs to stop. We've beaten you. If you do this again, this is going to get serious. And I want you to see the response in Acts 4:20. For we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. Saying, guys, this isn't some fantasy story that we're walking around lying to people about. I saw this. I heard this personally. I can't help but tell people about Jesus. See, learn to tell your story. Learn to share the story of God moving in your life. You're a witness, and we want to help you be a better witness, and that's why we talk about things like this. Listen, everyone in 2 or 3 minutes ought to be able to share their testimony with somebody. If you need a half hour to do it, I don't even want to sit there a half hour. And I love Jesus.
2 to 3 minutes. This was my life before Jesus. This is how I met Jesus, and this is how my life has been since. I told you about an 8-year-old kid going to Dallas Home of Praise. That was my testimony. 2 or 3 minutes. Did you feel like I was cramming anything down your throat? Did you sit there and go, he's lying? I'm evidence. I'm proof of what I'm talking about. 3 to 4 minutes, you should be able to share your story. Listen, I'm going to tell you one of the best places to witness ever. Ever. You have a hard time getting the conversation going? 100% of the time, this works. An elevator. Listen to me. You have a captive audience. And ask this question. You going up or down? Oh, come on. That was better than that. Come on. That was pretty good. You got to admit. That was, man, probably Dallas fans. I saw something the other day that said I set my DVR for The Biggest Loser, and it kept recording Dallas Cowboy games. Isn't that good? It had to be Jesus, right? I mean, the only star I ever read about following was the one that led us to Christ, and after that, it was out. Listen, sometimes people don't think they have a testimony. And a lot of times people don't share their testimony because you don't feel you have one. Pastor, I was never saved from drugs. I was never saved from alcohol. You know, I never cheated on anybody. I haven't murdered anyone that I can talk about legally. I have no testimony, and so I have nothing to share. Can I tell you something? The greatest witness that ever lived on this earth never sinned. And I think Jesus had a pretty good testimony. Sometimes we think we've done too much. Pastor, you don't understand. I wasn't just kind of not good. I was just good at being bad. And there's things I've done and things I've said that pastor, I don't even like to talk about because it hurts me and it bothers me, the man or the woman that I used to be. Can I tell you something? Listen, your testimony isn't about how bad you were, but about how good he is. And you got to stand in that and hold on to that. The greatest witness that ever lived never sinned. You don't have to have a bad story to have a good testimony. All of us are here today because somebody told us about Jesus. And they were able to do that because somebody told them about Jesus. And it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. Because someone shared their story and they shared the story of God moving in their lives. And that is why we are saved today. Because someone shared it with you. Amen. Listen, God has someone for you to share your story.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0333.